I'm going to read a few verses tonight from God's Word, Job chapter 14, and then there's one text of Scripture in Job chapter 34 that I want to read as well. But we're going to commence our reading at Job chapter 14. If you're not saved tonight, we'd ask you to listen very carefully to God's precious Word. We want to thank you for coming, and we appreciate your presence here tonight. And I know, as I've said, night by night, many of you have come every night, and we do appreciate God's people and the support that they have given to us, not only in the meetings, but in prayer. And we would ask you to continue to pray. Pray that the Lord will work and that the Lord will reach down and save precious souls. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die on the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the floods decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. O that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And then there's one text over in Job chapter 34. It's the text that I want to leave with you tonight. And I pray that if you're not a Christian, that the Lord will write these words upon your heart this evening. Job 34 is the first part of verse 20. And this is what it says. In a moment shall they die. In a moment shall they die. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help, that the Lord will come tonight and speak to hearts, even at the close of this meeting. That the Lord will reach down and reveal unto men and women, young people, their great need of God's salvation. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for these meetings, for your presence with us night by night. We thank thee, Lord, for hearts touched, lives changed. We thank thee, O God, for thy mercy. But O God, we recognize that this is a new night. And O God, as we come again to deal with the Word of God, seek to present the gospel of Christ to men and women that come and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. For, O God, we're so conscious that we dare not stand in the strength of man or the energy of the flesh. We need the help and power of God. We pray, therefore, Lord, that you would cover us in the blood and hide us far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. And we pray tonight for those in the meeting who are not saved. O God, that you would save them. Show them, Lord, their need of salvation. We pray if there be backsliders in the meeting, that you would restore them. And O God, that you would indeed restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. And Lord, bless your people. We thank thee, Lord, for your saints who have supported this mission so well. And we pray that you'll encourage them. And O God, help us to realize in these days that God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. And Lord, keep us praying. We thank thee, Lord, that you're a God that answers prayer. And O God, we thank thee that one may sow and another may reap, but it's the Lord that gives the increase. O God, come tonight, we pray thee, and bring in the harvest, the spiritual harvest, that men and women might be saved from hell and from judgment to come. Lord, help us now, we pray thee. We just ask thee, O God, for help from heaven. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. When Queen Elizabeth I was on her deathbed, she said, I would give all my possessions for a moment of time. However, not long after the old queen uttered those words, she came to the moment of death and she entered out into the great eternity. Men and women, it may take a lifetime to die, but it only takes it only takes 1 minute to go out into God's eternity. The question that I want to ask tonight is this: if the moment of your death should come tonight, are you ready? Are you prepared for the moment of death? You know, at the close of this meeting this evening, I want to draw your attention to this text of Scripture in Job 34 and the verse 20. And here we have these solemn words: in a moment shall they die. You know, throughout a person's life, there are many important moments, but none more important than the moment of death, because at the moment of death, you and I will go out into eternity, and our whole existence from that moment on will be changed forever. I wonder, did you know that if a person lived until they were 70 years of age, they would spend in total 36,792,000 minutes upon this earth. And yet it only takes one of those minutes to die and to go out into God's eternity. Our text says, in a moment shall they die. You know, the Bible tells us very simply and very clearly that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And the sad reality is that there are many in our land today, and maybe you're one of them, and they believe that death is the end. That when the moment of death comes, then you stop existing. And yet the Bible tells us clearly that death is only the beginning. I often say it, and let me say it again tonight, that death is only the key that opens up the door to the great eternity. And it's so important that before you come to the moment of death, and before you come to that second when you will take your last breath upon this scene of time, that you're ready and prepared for death and for eternity. And I pray tonight, if you're not saved, that you listen very carefully to this message this evening. And I pray that the Lord will take it and write it upon your heart, and that you will consider seriously death and eternity and where you will spend that eternity. Now, the first thing I want you to notice here, I want you to notice that the sinner has no knowledge of the moment of death. You see, it says in our text, in a moment. The moment spoken of here is an unknown moment. For the truth is, no one knows the precise moment of their death. Not even the doctors of the medical profession know the exact time when someone will die. We read in Genesis 27 verse 2 about Isaac. And when Isaac was an old man, he made this statement: behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. And you know, that is true. Here we have Isaac, an old man, he couldn't see, knowing that very soon he would have to leave this scene of time and go out into the great eternity. And yet, although he was old, nearing death, he could not pinpoint the moment when he would take his last breath upon this earth. And you know, men and women, the time of death is a moment that is hidden from us. And that is why it is so important to prepare For God, now, when the Lord has given you breath in your body. We read in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 12, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. And Ecclesiastes 8 verse 7, we read these words, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? And of course, the writer there is writing about the moment of death. You see, we're living today in an age of learning and education, and yet with all our knowledge, we cannot and never will obtain the knowledge of when we will take our last breath upon this scene of time. Why? Because the knowledge of death, the breath in our bodies, that last breath that we will take, only God knows when we will take it. My friend, I pray tonight as you have come to this mission and as you're here tonight again, that the Lord will speak to your heart and show you your great need of God's salvation. You see, your greatest need tonight is to prepare for death. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. And of course, when the Bible speaks about preparing to meet God, the Bible is emphasizing that at death, each and every one of us will go out into eternity and we will stand before our Creator. And that's why it is imperative for you and I, before we come to the moment of death, before we come to the second when we will take our last breath upon this scene of time, to be saved and to be born again of the Spirit of God. You see, there is a pressing matter tonight that you have to deal with. And that pressing matter is to have your sins forgiven, is to be saved by the grace of God, is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, because none of us know before this night is out whether we will be in our graves or whether we will not. Because the moment of death is hidden from each and every one of us. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice that the sinner has no power over the moment of death. Not only do we not know when death will come, but man does not have the power over the moment of death. Look what it says in the text. It says, in a moment shall they die. In other words, when the moment of death comes, they shall not be able to prevent death from taking place. You and I, when that second comes, when we will die, we have no power to stay alive. When you come to die, you will not stay the hand of death. You will not put death off. You will have no power to stop death from happening. And of course, the reason for that is clearly taught in the Bible, and it's this, because death is a divine appointment. In Hebrews, I'm only after quoting the verse, chapter 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And it was Job who said in Job 30, verse 23, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. And that text of scripture that we read in Job 14 verse 5, look what it says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. You see, in God's eternal calendar, he has a date underlined, and it is the date when you and I will die. It is the date when you and I will come to the moment of our death. And when we reach that date, you and I will not be able to stop death from coming. The strongest of men will not outfight death. The wisest of men will not outsmart death. The fittest of men will not outrun death. The oldest of men will not outlive death. The politician will not outvote death. The lawyer will not outmaneuver death. And my friend, the truth is this, that your family and my family, no matter how much they might love us, they will not prevent death from taking you and I away. Because the Bible says, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. I wonder, have you ever considered that? You know, you don't have to be old to die. And you don't have to be sick to die. And week by week in our province, and especially since this mission has started, and certainly over the weekend, we have seen how suddenly death can come. I wonder, as we look out into this world tonight, and as we consider how suddenly death can come and has come to others, I wonder if the death angel was to come your way tonight and plunge your soul out into eternity, where would your soul be this evening? My friend, I want you to answer that question honestly within your own heart and within your own soul. Because if you're in this meeting tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, then I pray that God will take His word tonight and that God will write it upon your soul and write it upon your conscience and write it upon your heart. Because when we come to consider this moment of death, the truth is that when the death angel comes for you and me, we'll not be able to fight it off. We'll not be able to prevent it. We'll not be able to stop death from coming. You know, there's a wonderful portion of Scripture. I want you to turn over to it in Job chapter 14. We didn't read these verses at the end of Job, but I'm going to read them now. And I want you to listen very carefully, because what we have here is the deathbed of a sinner. And although the sinner does not want to die, and although the family does not want him to die, there's nothing that he or his family can do about it. Look what it says in verse 20. Thou prevailest forever against him. That's the Lord prevailing against the sinner. And he passeth. That's the sinner dying, coming to the moment of death. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. The moment a person dies, their countenance change. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. And they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. There we have a deathbed scene. Oh, my friend, when death comes to you and me, there's nothing that we can do to stop it. And that's why it is so important when you get to this stage in your life, when you come to face death, whether it comes on a deathbed, or whether it comes suddenly, whether death takes you in your full health and strength, or whether death takes you with a deadly disease, doesn't really matter how we die upon this earth. The most important thing is to be ready and to be prepared for when death comes our way. Because when death comes, we will have no power over death. We don't know the moment it will come. But when it comes, we have no power over that event. No power whatsoever. Now look at something else. I want you to consider something else. The sinner has no return from the moment of death. Not only has he no knowledge of death, not only has he no power over death when it comes, but the sinner has no return from the moment of death. There's a text of Scripture in Job 21 and verse 13, and this is what it says. It says, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Men and women, there is no return from the grave. The grave is final in this respect, that there's no coming back to this earth to live your life again after you die. In Ecclesiastes 8 verse 10 it says, and so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. You see, there's no second chance after death. There's no second opportunity to live your life again after death. There's no return from the grave to make amends. The Lord is giving men and women in this gospel mission an opportunity to make their peace with God, and from this mission to live for Him. And I pray that if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and the Lord is speaking to your heart, that you will receive the opportunity with gladness, that you will come tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and go home from this place rejoicing in the Lord and live the rest of your life for Christ. Because, friend, when death comes, you'll not be able to come back to earth to live your life again. Death is final in this respect, that you can't come back to earth to undo the wrong that you did, the wasted opportunities that you missed when you lived upon this scene of time. Here is the question. Where will you spend eternity the very moment you die? Your last opportunity may be tonight. And if it were, if God was to come tonight, and if God was to take the breath from your body, where would you be in the great eternity? Now, last night we drew your attention to the subject of hell, and we emphasized the fact that if men and women die without Jesus Christ as their Savior, they go to a lost eternity. And of course, that is true. And at the moment of death, the sinner will go to one of two places, either God's heaven or God's hell. The Bible tells us clearly in Revelation 6 verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon it was death, and hell followed with him." And of course that text of Scripture is emphasizing the moment of death for the Christ rejecter. The moment of death for the one that dies without the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Redeemer. They end up in a lost eternity. But I want to emphasize tonight that when the Christian dies, when the child of God dies, it's a very different story. Because it's absent from the body, thank God, to be present with the Lord. And what a wonderful difference the moment of death brings for the child of God. How does the righteous die? Will the righteous die in full assurance of eternal life? When the moment of death comes for the child of God, thank God, it's home to be with the Lord. It was Paul who said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The psalmist David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Paul said on another occasion, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And then Paul goes on to say this, "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Oh, what a contrast. The moment of death is for the child of God compared to the Christ rejecter. The righteous man dies with God's peace in his heart. The righteous man will die knowing that he's on his way to heaven, having the confidence of knowing that God will save his soul from hell and bring it safely home to heaven. I wonder, as you're gathered here this evening, I wonder how you will meet the moment of death. You know, when D.L. Moody was dying, and of course D.L. Moody served the Lord most of his life, indeed after he was converted, he became a man that God used in a mighty way. And when he came face to face with death, this is what he said. He said, "Is this dying? Why, this is bliss. There is no valley. I have been within the gate. Earth is receding. Heaven is opening. God is calling. I must go." And he went home to be with his Master. And praise God, he is seated around the throne of God tonight, rejoicing with the saints of God. Isn't it wonderful to know and have the assurance that before you leave this scene of time, that you're going home to glory? The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, "I'm going home to glory soon. to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But then the hymn writer went on to say, but some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. What a difference when the moment of death comes for the child of God compared to the Christ rejecter. Oh, my friend, I would exhort you tonight to seek the Lord and to call upon Him. Edward Gibbon, who wrote the history of the Roman Empire just before he died in 1794, he said this, all is dark and doubtful. And of course, Gibbon was a Christ rejecter, and he had no time for the Lord. And when he faced the moment of death, what a difference there was compared to how D.L. Moody died. You know, John Wesley said on one occasion, when referring to the old Methodists, he said, our people die well. And you know, what he meant by that was this, that they died in Christ. They died redeemed and saved by the grace of God. I wonder, how will you die when you come to your last moment upon this scene of time? How will you face the last enemy? Because, my friend, each and every one of us, sooner or later, will face the last enemy. Of course, the reason why the Christian can die well is because the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross for our sins. My friend, maybe you're not saved tonight, but let me tell you this evening, I have a wonderful message at the close of this gospel meeting tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ, because He has died, and because He has taken the sinner's place, thank God, that means that you can go free from your sin, free from hell, free from judgment to come. You can receive tonight everlasting life. And if you tonight were to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, thank God He would save you and He would prepare you for the moment of death. Because Christ died and rose again, He made it possible for you and I, hell guilty sinners, to be redeemed for all eternity. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here this evening? Young person, older person. And the Lord has been speaking to your heart. You know you're not ready to die. You know you're not prepared for death. You know that if you were to die this very moment, then you would be lost forever and forever and forever. And yet over these past number of nights, over these past number of weeks, maybe even longer before this mission ever started, the Lord has been dealing with your heart and your soul. My friend, would you not come right through for Christ tonight? Would you not turn from your sin and by faith accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? Would you not step out for the Savior tonight? Praise God if you do. Not only will He give you peace in your heart and joy in your soul, not only will He give you assurance that you're on your way to heaven, but you can leave this meeting tonight knowing that your sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Would you not trust Him this evening? The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And thank God He will, because He has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He died to give you and I eternal life. He died in order to provide eternal salvation for you and I. And praise God, all who call upon Him and trust in Him alone receive everlasting life. The moment of death is coming. It's unknown. We have no power over it. And when it comes, we cannot retrace our steps. As far as life upon earth is concerned, it will be over. But as far as life in eternity is concerned, when the moment of death comes, that life will only be beginning. And you will spend that eternity in either God's heaven or God's hell. My friend, you need to make your peace with God tonight. That's why the Bible says, today if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's why the Bible exhorts the sinner to repent and believe the gospel immediately. Nowhere in this book is the sinner exhorted to get saved tomorrow. It's always today. Would you come today? Would you trust him now? Would you turn from your sin in this meeting and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near? In a moment shall they die. It only takes one moment. It only takes one second. And your soul will be out into the great eternity. Oh, my friend, seek the Lord now and turn from your sin. Let us all pray.